It's an absolute joy to be standing here in front of all these men. You know, when Mark asked me to share my story, I just was overwhelmed with honor because it's a group like this, these men, especially older men in my life, are the big reason why I'm standing in front of you today. I mean, men have impacted my life in a remarkable way. And I thank God every day that he, in his power, has placed men in my life to grow me and teach me and come alongside me and encourage me. And so to stand before you all in this ministry where there's men doing the same thing, I'm sure you guys can all attest to men probably sitting next to you and how they just impacted you in a remarkable way. It's an incredible gift from God to give us each other, to have this ministry work through a man like Chris White, to gather all of us. My encouragement to all of us is never to take this for granted. It is a remarkable, remarkable gift that God's given. So I thought about, you know, when you given an assignment to share your story, you reflect. And you get a time to reflect. And I thought about all the miracles of life and how, you know, it's a miracle that I'm standing here before you. You know, just things from, you think about even birth itself, being born into this world, what a miracle it is. You know, those that have children, you've seen it. You've seen your wives do that miraculous thing. You think about even just sleeping, right? We were just all in an unconscious state. Now here we are, right? Life's a miracle. God's a miracle worker. I think about how I got connected with leadership ministry. It started with one man, Dan DeGricio, choosing to share to another man that he knew, Chris White Jr., about who I was and what I was doing with this ministry, Noble Clay. Started in a garage, a grungy garage off of Pine Street in Cortland. I don't know if anybody's ever been there. At the time, it was the largest collection of homelessness in the city of Atlanta. And Chris White shows up to check out working with a personal trainer. He was desperate. And he comes into this garage. He's thinking, oh, I'm going to go to this, you know, real put together, you know, situation. And here it is this grungy garage and this guy standing there ready to help him out and train him. So that in and of itself was a miracle. But that's how I got here. Right? And then he invited me to come and partake into leadership ministries, and I've been here for about a year and a half, 2 years now, and, you know, so, you know, I think about just the miracle workers, miracle worker of God, right? Have you thought about some of the things that are just, the little miracles that happen every day? I think about the fact that we're still here on this earth and the way at which we are, you know, because God chose to stop the earth. Even for a split second, we would shoot that way at 800 miles an hour. Catastrophic destruction, right? I mean, it's a miracle that we're here right now. And it gives new meaning to when I read in the scripture that you know, God says, like, we're like grasshoppers. We can just be, if he wanted to, we could just, you know, wipe us away. Maybe that's a scientific way of how that could possibly happen if he chose to. But in God, he doesn't. It's a miracle that we're here. So it's a joy. I do want to ask that you guys keep me accountable because that's what men do. So if a couple of you could pull out your phones, just put a clock on there for 13 minutes. And that's the time that I'll have. And just raise your hand up when that clock goes off. That'll help me out. So I'll be able to close up here. So, yeah, five of you men would be great. I should see five hands going up if you guys can help me out, it'd be great. So I want to share two statements that I think would summarize my life, right? Those statements are, if God chooses to make a dead man alive, there's nothing that any man or that man or any other force can do to stop it, right? Spiritually dead. If he chooses to make him alive, there's nothing that man or any other man can do to stop him. That's in Isaiah 26:10. The other statement is, if God starts the work, he completes it until the day of Christ Jesus. Have you men thought about that day lately? Chris, Ryan, the day of Christ Jesus, when we all stand before him, completed, right? Bob, that day. Mark, yeah. That's a day. That's the day that we're all standing, we're all going to be standing before the throne, before Christ. It's a glorious day for some. For those who are in Christ, it's a hopeful, it's a joyous day. And for some, it's a terrifying reality. But those statements would summarize my life. And so, I'll share, I'm married, I'm a child of God, right? That identity is something that's incredible, that I have become a child of God. He's given me the right to become a child of God because of his son, Jesus Christ, because of my faith in him, my belief in him, my confession of him. He's given me the right to become a child of God. I'm also a husband, Laura. We have three beautiful children. Two are here on this earth with us, Thaddeus, he's 5, Ember, one in about 15 months old now. And then we have Haven Sky, who we lost in 2019, actually right when I joined this group. You know, I lost my daughter, Haven Sky, at birth. I was going on to be with the Lord, safe in his arms. And it was wonderful to have a group of men, I was at the Grant Park group at the time, just comfort me, you know, through that hard loss, right? There's so much sadness in it, but yet also so much joy, so much comfort that God would put together a group of men around my life to comfort me in such a time as that, right? And so I'll share a little bit about how my life was before I knew him. I came to know Christ as my Lord and Savior at age 25. Prior to that, I was born into a broken home, both from my father and my mother. Both had broken homes. My dad's dad left him at 5 years old. My mom left me at 5 years old. My mom grew up in Jersey, which is where I was born. Later, when I was 25, I learned of this. She was sexually molested at 12 years old. Abhorrent evil by her own father and by her mother's brother, her uncle. Impregnated at 12 years old, and that baby was aborted. My dad's left him at 5 years old. He was raised by his mother, joined the Air Force, was stationed at Fort Dix up in New Jersey, met my mother at a party. They were doing drugs together. Had my sister. My grandmother is a believer. She called my dad, said, Ben, you need to marry that woman. So they got married. She was 17. My dad was 19. A year and 9 months later, they had me. We moved down into, back, you know, I'm 9 months into my life, we moved to Atlanta, Georgia, right here in Chamblee, which is now Brookhaven off Skyland Drive. And, I grew up, there was a lot of joy. I lived in the neighborhood, played in the neighborhood, but at 5 years old, my mom had struggles, you know, bipolar, schizophrenia, a lot of things that were just not taken care of from the evils that were done to her. And she went into a rehab center and came out and just couldn't take anymore. So she left back to New Jersey, back to the family that, you know, was very dysfunctional and broken, and stayed there. And I remember her walking away at 5 years old, not knowing. At 5 years old, you all know this. Like you're emotionally really developed, right? Your thinking brain has not developed, right? But abandonment sets in, and you have to live your life with, you know, these issues. But my family, there was no emotional foundation, no spiritual foundation, no educational foundation. So my dad did the best he could. He said, okay, I got to provide for you. He was making $30,000 a year from digital. And he just worked and said, okay, we got to pick it up and just take care of these two kids. And that's what he did. And so we got flung into things that were create as much joy as we could in our home, right? And those were things like playing in the neighborhood, playing in the woods, played soccer. I got into sports. Sports was something that was my outlet for emotion. I worshiped it. I played hours and 8 hours a day, I remember, out in the yard playing with a ball at my feet. And I played that through, my high school into college years and wrestled at a high level as well. So those two sports, I just sucked my life into and dedicated my life to them. And it wasn't until I was injured, right, is where God started to do his work on me. He was always with me. He started to take away the things at which I was worshiping, that I was giving my heart to, right, as a way to be fulfilled, as a way to be healed. Right, something that only he can do. And he was being a father to me in that moment. And, he took my time through those years of playing soccer, played at Olympic development level, got into college, played, and then the injuries happened right around my latter year in high school. And so couldn't play that. That was taken away. So I started getting to things, other things that would pleasure me, right? Womanizing, drinking, the partying scene, things that would just fill the void of this emotional baggage that I was carrying, right? And I was trying everything and anything the world could provide for me to feel better, right? And I thank God that at 17 years old, somebody invited me into a church to hear the gospel. And the gospel was preached, and I accepted, right? I knew that I was broken and I needed a Savior. And it was one of those situations where you raise your hand and then he's like, okay, great, here's your Bible. Read this, right? Unfortunately, there was no discipleship. It was just, here's the Bible. And so for the next 7 years, I wrestled with getting into the Word, but then still living this lifestyle that, no foundation spiritually, no emotional foundation. So I was back into doing terrible things. But here's the catch, is that God was starting to mess with me. He started to mess with me. He started to open up my eyes to the evil and to the wrongdoing that I was doing. That 7 year period of him doing that got so intense that I got so confused this was in 2008, I was on a bridge, hopeless, because of the wrestle, because of the lack of understanding of what was going on. I was wanting to kill my life. And so I stood up on a bridge in Dahlonega, ready to take it, And he, by his grace, just overwhelmed me with a sense of peace, y'all, that I cannot explain. And I stood down and I said, Father, I don't know how to do this, but if you help me in this moment, I will give you my life. Help me, Lord Jesus. I don't know how to do this. Help me. And I sat down and on my knees on that concrete, and I looked up to the heavens and I said, Lord, I'm here. Right? And in that moment, he became a Lord in my life. And so for 7 years, he was a Savior at first, and then he was Lord. And then I started to recognize how he was a fathering me through all these years, giving me men. And in that 7 year period, he had introduced me to several men. One, Roger Swims, builder, very successful builder. I was attracted to that. A successful older man. He took me in his house. I remember the first lesson he gave me was, hey, Ben, fill this coffee cup up. It's slap full. I want you to walk up my stairs and not spill a drop of it. And I'm competitive, so I'm like, I'm going. I'm like not trying to spill any drop. And of course, I spill half the cup going up the stairs. And so I walk back down. He refills it up, and he says, now I want you to not look at the cup. And I want you to look at the very top of those stairs and walk back up those stairs. And so I did. Right? Didn't drop one drop. And he said, here's the lesson. He said, don't focus right here. Put your eyes on eternity. Put your eyes on Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of your faith, and walk. Walk with him. Have your gaze and aim set high, and he will care for you. You keep your vision down here, you're going to make a mess of it. But if you keep your eyes there, right, you'll smoothly, not without trouble, but he'll carry you. And so that was an impactful lesson. It's one lesson of a man, how he impacted my life. Another guy, Bill Watkins, owner of Morena Group, a big medical group that he sold the company, and He taught me business things, sat down with me. Here's Strength Finder. Here's your blind spots. Here's your strengths. Here's how, you know, and just all these things about business. I'm an uneducated man, didn't finish college, didn't have men in my life. My dad was acting as a mother and a father. And so I wasn't trained in a lot of things, these things, but God knew. And God sent men in my life, right? Another man is Rod Intrican. He was my spiritual father. He was a man that helped me get through a time period where when I gave my life to the Lord on that after that bridge, I had met my wife 3 or 4 months later after that incident. And a group of men, I was in a group similar like this, and I had 7 men. One of them was the strength and conditioning coach for the Atlanta Falcons, who's currently on our board. He's now with the Vikings, but him and Roger and a few other men were going through very struggling times with their marriages, and they were praying over me at a Cracker Barrel, hands laid on me. Father, bring Ben, a woman that's been raised in a Christian home. Bless his marriage. Bring him his wife. And just started praying this prayer over me. And literally 7 days later, I meet Laura, my wife. Right? It's the power of a group of men doing things in your life. It's incredible, right? Well, Rod Intrican comes in, and he's our pastor. Right, he's spiritually developing me, and he teaches me how to read the Bible, teaches me about the church, teaches me discipleship, right? Helps me through a very troubling time after I'd given my life to Christ, which was I had to go to jail for 10 days. I spent 10 days in jail for an incident that happened prior to that bridge incident in Delonica. I'd been drinking and driving. I get let off the DUI, and I was reduced to reckless driving, but I had to spend 10 days in jail in Forsyth County Prison. When I was there, I met Jason McKee. He was on death row for murder. The McKee massacre, they call it the Forsyth County Massacre. I'm going to wrap up. Forsyth County Massacre happened, and It was 10 days of spending my time in the Bible and watching this man have a ministry in jail. And the only reason he was in my cell is because he had been there for 3 years in good character and good behavior, so he was in my cell. And I got to spend time with this guy and see him do a ministry, praying and worshiping in this jail cell, right, is my experience. And the closeness and the how I drew so close to God and learned of him, and seeing him work in men's lives in a jail cell was absolutely incredible. And when I got out of that time, I knew God was calling me to ministry, to use the gifts that he had given me, the life situation. For Jason McGee, he was a ranger in the Army, and he had, you know, had a bad situation. He murdered, you know, 4 men before he was going back to Afghanistan. He didn't even remember it because he was so high on cocaine. He's now off death row and living life in jail, and he's still carrying on that mission. Praise God for that ministry. But that moment, it really, God used that to really catapult me to saying, God, use me however you will. And he took my fitness experiences of my young childhood and all the experience I had in fitness and in sports at a high level to launch into being a strength and conditioning coach, which I've been doing for the last 18 years. And then over those years, just slowly working on using what he's given me for his glory. Right, just like he did with Paul. We hear about that in Paul. I was a Judaizer. And he looked back on his life and he sees exactly why he had lived the life he did so he could take the gospel to the Gentiles. Right, and God does that with all of us. Right, it's when we connect in with the Lord and we see and we really walk with him that he shows you, one, your true self, but two, the calling he has for your life to where you can get to that day of Christ, right? And hopefully be with me in my life mission. My life mission is simply this, to love God fully, to love myself correctly, to love others compassionately, and to get to that day where we stand before the Lord and say, well done, my good and faithful steward. Well done. Right? That's life. That's life. Life is breathing in his spirit and letting out the praise. Lord, you're worthy. Holy, holy are you. Lord God Almighty. Right? Prayer. has something, the depth of prayer in my life has changed so drastically recently because I understood the Hebrew meaning of it is tefillah. It's not like we see when we've here in the Western world is as prayer is to ask or beg. It's not that. It's actually what the Jews thought of as a self-evaluation, self-examination before a holy God. That's prayer. And think about it. When the Lord says, this is how you should pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. And we hear of the angels in the Old Testament going, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Right? Prayer, we can come into the Lord and look and stand before him and go, ah, how far away I am from your holiness. Right? And that's been my life. My life after Christ has not been one of, it started off like, here I am, here's God's holiness, there's the cross in between it, I'm connected. But the longer I've walked with the Lord, it's gone like this. His holiness has gone like this. My lack thereof is going like this. And it keeps going wider and wider and wider. And I see how far I am away from the holiness of God. But in between that is the cross. And that cross has grown in stature and in meaning. Where every day I have to go, God, I have nothing. I'm poor in spirit, God. Again, I am poor in spirit. Help me. Mourning my sin, the sin I see in the world. And it's only in that place that we can really know who God is. How wide that goes, I don't know. I'm only 39 years old. A lot of you men have lived a lot longer than me. I'm sure that you could probably attest, as you've walked with the Lord, the gap that is existing from his holiness to your lack thereof and your need for Jesus in your life. So I leave you with this, these short words, is that, you know, God will save those whom he will save. He'll complete the work. He'll give you the power by the Holy Spirit. He will invigorate and sustain you to invest in men's lives. And so I just encourage you that the time, I was just talking with Gene, somebody else, the time is short. It's going to come, that day. The days are evil. It's important because I'm standing in front of you because men reached out to me, brought me into their life and taught me. And so as you go out and you spend time in your tables, just I encourage you to think about who are the men that need to be here? Who in my life, who has God put in my path for me to invite in and to invest in their life? It's critical. It has really changed my life. So I leave you with that encouragement. Enjoy your tables. Thank you for the time. Sorry I went over a couple minutes there, Chris Sr. I look forward to getting to meet most of you as I look at your faces. God bless.